Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the one-on-one 10 weeks program and through the upcoming online community. To know more about these offerings or to sign up to the waiting list for the community, follow the link in the description or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And I'm excited to announce that the Reclaim Your Fullness online community is actually opening its doors this Thursday, 27th of February. So you're still on time to sign up to the waiting list to gain access. The doors will remain open for 2 days and then they'll close again until May, sometime in May, on a date to be decided. So if you are interested, there's still time to sign up to the waiting list. And the link is in the description of this episode. Now, let's talk about today's topic. I want to talk about anxiety today. Do you feel anxious most of the time during your day? Does anxiety keep you up at night? Do you feel anxious for things that don't seem challenging to others, that you think maybe you should be able to do or you should be able to get through without all of this anxiety, but yet you feel anxious? Do you compare yourself to others that seem like they can breeze through things that make you extremely anxious? So if you feel any of that, I get it. Anxiety has been one of the biggest challenges I've had to navigate and still can be. Guilt and anxiety, like the lethal duo, for me, those have been like the most challenging things to overcome. So I really, really get it. And we've done an episode on guilt just 2 weeks ago. I'm going to put the link in the description of this episode if you want to go listen to that as well. So that we've tackled both the main big challenges for daughters of narcissistic mothers. I get so many emails from you listening in on the topic of anxiety. And the main questions that I get on it are, how do I get rid of it? Or is it normal for daughters of narcissistic mothers to feel anxious all the time? Or is it just me? And another question that I get very often is, how do others cope with it? Will it ever be gone? Will I ever be rid of it? Or will I always have to deal with it? And my heart goes to all of you because I really know how it feels. I used to get anxious for the simplest of things. And it was so challenging to having to explain maybe to my partner or to my friends why I felt anxious when they didn't, you know, in situations that seemed like really simple situation. Like for me, sometimes going to the filling station to put fuel in my car. Well, I had to pick, I had the known filling stations where I used to go all the time, but if I had to go to a new one, that would be the cause of a lot of anxiety for me, for example. And this is something that, I mean, people do all the time. They put fuel in their cars, going to filling stations all over the country all the time. And I felt so broken and like there was really something wrong with me, and also very, very alone. Very alone and not understood most of the times. I felt like I should be able to move through life without all that anxiety, and I also felt like I was unfixable. So today I want to share with you what changed in my experience, what I discovered that truly helped me in overcoming the anxiety, and most of all how it stopped actually ruling my life, because it doesn't rule it anymore. There are still situations where I do feel anxious. Waves of anxiety still do come up. I would be lying if I told you that it's completely gone, but it's nowhere near how impactful it used to be for me. Like, it was an omnipresent thing. I didn't actually know what feeling relaxed meant. I only knew what it felt like to feel a little less anxious than I usually felt. Like, that was the relaxed state for me. It was like, okay, today I'm just a little less anxious than on a normal day. So that's me being relaxed, but that's like so far away from actually being relaxed. You know, it's like instead of lying on the bed, you're hovering inches above your bed all the time. That's how I felt. And the first thing I want to clarify, it's very important. So if you're feeling anxious all the time, or even most of the time, there's nothing wrong with you, first of all. And you're not the only one feeling like that. Because that's one of the questions. Is it normal for daughters of narcissistic mother to feel anxious all the time? Or is it just me? So it's not just you. As I said, I felt like that most of my life. And I get so many emails on this topic. You wouldn't believe it. So it's not just you. Most daughters of narcissistic mothers suffer with anxiety. Most of the time, if not all the time. So where does all this anxiety come from? Why do we suffer with all this anxiety? Growing up with a narcissistic mother or a mother with narcissistic tendencies is cause of trauma in the system. There were moments in your childhood in which you felt unsafe in some way or another. And this lack of safety is what creates the trauma in the system. In most cases, with emotionally immature parents, this trauma is repeated over and over again throughout childhood, making those formative years overall very unsafe. And this is not necessarily physically unsafe, but definitely emotionally unsafe. And then it can, of course, go into the physical realm of unsafety. We all had our personal unique version of it. And there's no hierarchy of who had it worse and who had it better. If it's unsafe, it's unsafe. And the nervous system will interpret it as unsafe. So the result is the same. We grew up with a nervous system that is hypervigilant and perceives stress as a very dangerous thing. And we grew up with a nervous system that hasn't had the chance to develop the flexibility to deal with stress and go back to a neutral state. Because as humans, we are able to actually deal with stress. As in those formative years, when we're from being born to about year 7 or 8, we are meant to learn and develop pathways in our nervous system to be able to cope with stress. And because life can be stressful, there are going to be stress factors, but we're meant to develop those pathways to actually be able to cope with that. So go and cope with the moment of stress and then go back to a more regulated neutral state and then again. But we've missed that because there wasn't safety. So all of this, and we more than likely also grew up with a mother who either put us down and made us feel inadequate most of the time. So telling us we weren't capable and we weren't enough, that we were bad, that we were wrong, that we couldn't speak, we couldn't express. So, and we had to mine her nervous system, her emotional system. So this hypervigilance and anxiety that comes from constantly needing to read the sign. Again, it's a form of unsafety, having to mine her nervous system all the time. It means we're not actually feeling safe because her emotional state can ultimately cause us some kind of hurt, or it's an unsafe scenario to be in. And also the other end of the spectrum from a mother that puts us down and treats us really bad all the time is a mother whose mother does. So making us feel incapable to cope with life, because that's also a form of emotional immaturity by the parent. So all of this, and whatever is your personal unique situation in this, all of this translates in a constant feeling of anxiety in our adult life. So what can we do? What do we do about that? What are the most common things that we do about that? We try again and again to get rid of the anxiety, of course. Who wouldn't want to get rid of it? We want it to end, so we attack it as if it was the enemy. And this doesn't work. That's the thing. It doesn't work. Attacking anxiety as if it was the enemy doesn't work. For years, I fought anxiety. For years, I've told myself it was ridiculous to be anxious in certain situations. For years, I've tried to get myself to relax, to calm down. I tried to positive affirm myself into a state of calm. and for years I felt worse and worse, less and less able to accept myself, more and more like a broken thing that could not be fixed. So if this is happening to you, I absolutely get it. I really, really do. Fighting anxiety, much like fighting guilt, as we mentioned in the episode 2 weeks ago about guilt, doesn't actually work. It only creates more and more frustration because anxiety is not the root cause, it's just the symptom of an underlying mechanism. Anxiety is the symptom of patterns within the nervous system, which, as we said, originate from unsafety in childhood. Someone who has developed safety within a certain context while growing up won't experience anxiety in that scenario. They will navigate the situation, accessing pathways that for us are not available at this moment. And so that's the example of the filling stations. People that can just go and do their own things in every filling station, while I was just crippled at the idea of going into a place that was new. That depends on what pathways are available within the system. And it also, when we go into comparing, and that's why if you may have heard me before on this podcast to say that comparisons is not very useful and helpful because we all also have different coping strategies. So you may see someone that seems extremely relaxed from the outside and it's absolutely dying with anxiety on the inside, but they have different coping strategies. Or also, some people just numb it and go around in a kind of a dissociated state and in a bubble. So they actually seem okay from the outside, but they're completely detached from their emotional system on the inside. So again, there's so many different ways to cope with anxiety, and not always this is very apparent from the outside. So the invitation is to really not compare yourself to others because you don't know what's happening. And very often as daughters of narcissistic mothers, when we compare ourselves to others, we actually always feel like we're coming up short, always feel like we're the one doing worse. And that is actually not the case very, very often. So yeah, that was just like a little digression that comparing is not really helpful. People that seem to be coping better than us are not necessarily better and we are the worst ones. It's just a matter of what pathways are available within the nervous system of a person. In general, there are two main so-called mistakes we end up making when trying to deal with anxiety. And you know, I don't mean mistakes as in you're doing something wrong. We try to go at it in the best way available, in the best way we think possible, and in the way we've also been told from the outside how we're meant to go at it by others that may not be trauma-informed and may not actually understand the mechanism that's underlying all the anxiety. So one is we attack it as an enemy, and we mentioned that already. So we try to get rid of it. We try to get rid of anxiety. We end up trying millions of different ways to get rid of anxiety, never looking beyond it to what's actually the underlying mechanism. And we try to put ourselves in situations. We even try to put ourselves in situations that make us super anxious. Just because we're supposed to be able to cope with those situations. We try positive affirmations, we tried medications, we tried all sorts of stuff to try and get rid of the anxiety. Enemy number one needs to be fought and eliminated. That's one of the ways that doesn't really work. And the second way is we do our best to avoid triggers. So we end up avoiding more and more situations that causes anxiety in the hope of never feel it again, like me just running my car absolutely go solo on fuel to get to that one filling station that I felt comfortable going into. I've certainly tried both things. I've attacked it with all my might, trying to get rid of it. And I've also tried to avoid triggers, so to avoid situations that made me anxious. And with the second option, I thought I had resolved my problem, actually. So with attacking it, I felt worse and worse about myself, more and more frustrated, more and more broken, more and more hopeless. With the second, I had resolved my problems because I was indeed less anxious. But the catch was that I was also living less and less. I had to get rid of so much from my life because I was afraid of feeling, again, that crushing anxiety that very easily could turn into pure panic, that I had eliminated so many situations from my life. I was doing less and less and less. And I've seen that happening also with people I know, friends and family members, and sometimes with clients too, where we end up like creating this kind of safe nest, but it's very limited and it's very small, and we never get out of that. So it can give us an illusion of having overcome the anxiety, but all we have done is just eliminated bunches of things from our life. So not putting yourself in a situation that triggers a lot of anxiety can be part of the journey, because there's no point in jumping in at the deep end and then needing days, if not weeks, to recover. So, for example, there was no point in me pretending that I wasn't anxious. I'm going to stick with the filling station example. So pretending that I wasn't anxious going into new filling stations and just throwing myself at whatever situation and just pushing my system and my body to go through to a filling station that made me so, so, so damn anxious and uncomfortable, that wasn't helpful. But it was not helpful either to just stick with only one and never, ever, ever try to set my foot out of the comfort zone, because that's an illusion of having overcome anxiety. You've only removed the triggers, but the anxiety is still actually there. It's just dormant. So it's only a temporary solution that doesn't work long term if you desire to live your life fully, which you absolutely deserve to do. Now, the good news is that once we have clarity on the fact that anxiety is only a symptom of an underlying mechanism, then we can go and work on that. We can actually work on the underlying mechanism. And we by doing that, we get long-lasting results. We actually get to the root cause of it. And I can tell you, from my own experience, and I do see it with clients again and again, it does go away more and more. Like, it's like you may still have anxiety that get triggered. As I said, I still get it at times. It still gets triggered, but it's nowhere near, and there's a distance, there's a space. I can really deal with it. It doesn't escalate into those crazy panic attacks. It's like a moment, and I know the signs. I know what to do to bring it back, and I can work with that. So it's a completely different life, and I'm able to do so much more than I used to thanks to that. So how do we do this? We need to build safety within the system. So unsafety is what was at the root cause, unsafety in our childhood. And so now we need to bring safety within our nervous system. We need to train flexibility back within the system so that we can cope with stress and then also go back to a neutral state. And this can be, it's not that if, because you were as a child, you didn't get the chance to train that's lost and you're never going to be able to do that. That's not true. You're actually always able to develop that. You can do that now. You have that choice to actually do that now. And it is totally possible. I've only experienced a life with less anxiety in the last 3 or 4 years, and I'm 40. it's totally possible. There isn't an age limit for this. So there are two main ways to build safety back in the nervous system. Number one, internally, and number two, externally. So how do we do that? Let's go into it a little bit more. So when we're talking about building safety internally in your system, this means gently training your nervous system to feel safety by allowing your body to experience an inner sense of safety. that's the sense of safety that our body did not experience when we were children growing up. So if you can support your body, like literally your physical body, to experience safety, to actually soak it into the tissues, into your muscles, into your entire nervous system, you can support your system to start opening pathways to safety or of safety. So this can be achieved through purposely designed practices which involve breath, sound, visualizations, movement. Properly guided, you can build safeties back into your body from the inside, not only learning tools of self-regulation, which help you when the anxiety is triggered. So in those moments when steel waves of anxiety get triggered, you actually learn to just bring your system back to a more regulated space, but also opening pathways of safety in the nervous system so that the anxiety gets triggered less and less. So you're kind of doing both at the same time. With these practices and these tools, you learn, you open pathways. So you're going to experience less and less anxiety in the long term. And that's going to take a little while, you know, and a consistent practice. But also, you're learning tools that support you in those moments when the anxiety actually does get triggered, to bring it back to a more regulated space and cope better. So that happens kind of simultaneously. The more you keep the practice consistent, the less the anxiety is going to get triggered. And so the less you're going to need those tools within the moment, but they're going to still build on the long term, less and less trigger, if that makes sense. So that's the creating, it's creating those safety pathways inside your system from the inside out that would have been created when you were a child if you had like a very, very safe childhood with parents that were emotionally mature. But not having had that, you still are on time and you can do it now and it does work. So that's the internal aspect of it. Now, we also mentioned that you can do it externally. And these two things kind of work together. So it's not one or the other. In my experience, and this is what I also see with people I work with, is that the two together make the magic combo that actually supports your system. So building safety externally, we do that by accessing a space with other people where you know you're safe. So the internal safety you're building within yourself, the external safety, you get the support of other people and a container that is safe. This gives your system the experience of safety with others, which is an important element of safety, because in your life you are going to interact with others. And let's face it, most people are not necessarily inherently safe to be around. A lot of people don't realize that sometimes with their words, or with their actions, or with their body language, are being unsafe. Some do it intentionally. Some are unsafe intentionally. But most people don't actually know that they are unsafe. They're just working from subconscious patterns. So when we're going around in general everyday life, we can be in a lot of situations that can be triggers. And so we can do the internal work so that these triggers become less and less. And that's like your personal internal journey. But also to be in an environment with people that are consciously there to overcome anxiety and like healing mother wounds and stuff like that. So they're consciously there to create a safe container, gives your nervous system the experience of being safe with others. And this is not like putting cotton wool around you so that you're never going to go into the world where there could be unsafe people, but it builds the muscle. It actually really helps building the muscle. Having been unsafe with your narcissistic mother, or maybe with both your parents, creates a relational wound, which can heal powerfully when we can access a safe space with people who allow us to be seen and supported. So a safe community where you can slowly build a muscle of safety among others can be truly supportive in the process of overcoming anxiety. A safe space where you may be challenged, but always in a safe way. So you are pushed to get out of your comfort zone a little bit, but with people that you know are going to support you, much like parents would have done, you know, like in a safe childhood, emotionally safe childhood, your parents, your mother would have gently supported you in constantly pushing outside of comfort zone, because that's growing and developing your identity, while she was there to offer you unconditional support. Now, if your mother was a narcissist or had strong narcissistic tendencies, this is not the experience you've had. Most certainly is not the experience I've had. There was no safety. If I pushed out my comfort zone and things didn't go well, the response was going to be put down. So it's going to be, my mother would get angry, or would, you know, like consequences that were not actually safe would happen. And that taught my system that going outside my comfort zone, even just a little bit, is a very, very dangerous thing to do, especially around others. So a safe space when you may be challenged, but always in a safe way, helps you gently build a confidence muscle alongside pathways of being capable, which build the foundation of a more relaxed nervous system. So these are the two ways to get to the root cause or where the anxiety comes from. The anxiety in itself is just a symptom. The root cause is the patterns within your nervous system that come from the profound unsafety that you've experienced as a child. So you can bring back safety in your system through specific practices to work internally, and then through a space with safe people, genuinely, consciously safe people that support you on your journey. And so from this internal pathway and external pathway, you get to feel more and more safe inside, and from there less and less triggered from the outside, and you will see that the anxiety actually reduces, becomes less and less and less, until it's something that you can easily manage and start doing so much more. I know my husband's, we've been together for so long, and he knows me really well. And when he met me, I was an extremely anxious person. I couldn't do anything. I needed him with me for everything. And even with him being with me, I was still anxious anyways. And he's been telling me more and more recently, like, wow, like, you used to be so anxious in this situation and now you're just doing it. And I don't even notice. It's actually really lovely to hear that reflected back, because I don't even notice. Such is the power of this type of work. You don't even notice, because that anxiety is just fading away. And if you don't have someone there that reflects it back to you and notices, you may not even realize that transformation has taken place. So that has been my experience, and I share it with you because I really, really feel how intense it is to live a life constantly anxious, constantly so exhausting. It's absolutely draining. I remember I was tired all the time and yet unable to sleep, because nighttime was when my anxiety would go like the highest. It was like the worst time was when I had done everything and I actually was okay, we're going to bed, and I would push the going to bed. I thought I was a night owl. I used to define myself a night owl, but it's not actually really true at all. I love getting up early in the morning now, but I needed to be a night owl because I wanted to push further away from me that moment of lying in bed and feeling all that anxiety that I tried my best to suppress for the entire day. And it would just rush all at me. And I could get panic attacks at night going to bed. It was very intense. So if that is what you're going through, I absolutely get it. And that's why I wanted to share about this. Because there's hope. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. You can actually experience a life I don't want to say anxiety free, because life is life, but with in a way that you can totally manage it and you can live so much more, do so much more, experience so much more in a relaxed way. So yeah, if you feel called to and you want to share with me, you're welcome to share. You can send an email at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me, or you can leave a comment. And yeah, share your experience, ask questions if you have questions. And again, the doors to the community are opening this Thursday. So if you're listening to this episode now and there's still time and you feel called to, you can join the waiting list, and that will give you access to the community. And if not, May is when the doors of the community will open again. So you're going to have a chance to join then as well. So with that, I'm going to wish you a wonderful week and send you lots of love. Bye for now.